this is a very tragic time in all of our lives. By the inconceivable will of the Lord, eight of our very dedicated, pure-hearted, beloved devotees have been taken from us. When I learned about it, the shock was so immense that it was difficult to try to philosophically reason. Sometimes things that affect the heart so deeply, we simply have to take shelter of the Lord. What is beyond our intelligence, what is beyond our ability to deal with, is a time when we can helplessly cry out for Krishna. I was thinking I should go to Mumbai. I'm not scheduled to be here until October. I had serious commitments. Many very senior, important people were very much counting on me to be in Texas. And over the last few years, my health has not been good. In fact, just eight months ago, I got a very serious disease due to total exhaustion and a complete breakdown in my immune system. And all the doctors told me, you have to stop traveling so much. No more than one or two long airplane rides a year. You must do this for your life. So my intelligence was telling me, for the sake of service to the devotees, no, you cannot go there. To take that flight and come back less than a week later could be devastating. But my heart was telling me something completely different. My heart was telling me, you have no alternative. You must go. What does love mean? Love means sacrifice. These eight devotees, they offer the complete love of their hearts in the service of Srila Prabhupada. They offer the complete love of their hearts to help to assist me. They gave so much love to me that I must reciprocate. So I decided I will go to Mumbai. Why? As was spoken, as a gesture of reciprocating with people who gave their hearts and souls to us. A few minutes after making this decision, I spoke with Vidhi on the phone. She sounded so pathetic in her grief. A young girl who had just lost her mother, father, and brother in a moment. And I thought of Prerna. And I thought of Harish, who had just lost his entire family. His beloved, faithful, chaste, loving wife and only daughter, who he was so absolutely proud of. And I thought of Murli Mohan and Gagan's parents, who lost their only children. And although I didn't know Gaur Krishna Prabhu's parents so much, I could imagine what they were going through, his family. I could hear all of their voices. In fact, I could hear all of their hearts through our little Vidhi, who was crying. But who, just hearing that Krishna was there for them and Krishna was there for her, I could feel what a wonderful soul she really was. So my purpose of coming is to offer some seva, because since 1985, when we established Radha Gopinath Temple with just a small group of people, and actually the two families of Kunja Bihari Madhupriya and Gokurani, they came very early. They were among our very senior devotees. And I saw how from a few people, so many started coming. And our prayer, our vision, that however small or however large our ashram and our congregation become, the first and foremost priority must be that we establish, remain, and deepen the spirit of family. And what is family? Family is, we're here for each other. Real family is, the requirements of others becomes my priority over my own. This is spiritual family life. Selfless service. So I was thinking, these devotees who offered so much of their love, affection to me and to all of us, how could I best serve them? Because in bhakti, what everything ultimately comes down to is how we could serve. Because that's what love means, to serve. Selflessly. To try to somehow encourage the families, the greater family of the community, is the way I could serve these beloved souls. I came here with the thought that I would give solace. But since I've been here, I've realized this concept in giving we receive. Because in being with the family members, in being with the ashram devotees and the congregation, I have gained so much solace in my own life. And I am thinking that there's no place in Brahma's creation I'd rather be right now. Because this is the place where so many people really knew these departed Vaishnavas, deeply appreciated these departed Vaishnavas, and deeply love them. I just want to be with all of you. And I thank you. The obvious question, Vidhi asked it, I think on behalf of many, why they were such good devotees. They were not sinful. They were not impious. They centered everything they did, every one of these people, around Krishna. Usually we hear that good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people because those are the laws of karma. Why such a loss of life from such good people? Now I'm expanding on the question, why myself? Doesn't seem fair. Who's going to want to be a devotee if this is what happens to the sincerest devotees? To understand that question, why? Mahajano yena katasa panta. We have to hear from the great souls. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, this subject is very, very directly addressed. Philosophically, it's addressed in the Gita. in the Ramayana, in so many scriptures. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a beautiful explanation that really philosophically transforms the heart. We find Bhishma, one of the 12 greatest authorities of Vedic wisdom, laying at a bed of arrows. There were arrows that were shot through his entire body from his neck to his toes, and you could not put a finger between any two arrows. There were hundreds. But he would not die. He was waiting for Krishna. And don't think he was without pain. We get a single thorn that just goes a millimeter into our foot and we think it's unbearable. Can you imagine hundreds of arrows piercing through the front and the back of body? And yet he was waiting for Krishna. Meanwhile, here is Maharaj Yudhisthira, the most pious. He is named Dharmaraj. He's the king of Dharma. What to speak of doing something immoral? Even he never had a thought of any immorality or lie in his mind, his whole life. He was blaming himself for everything that happened in Kurukshetra. Because of me, so much sorrow and death. Krishna, instead of instructing him himself, brought him to Bhishma. And there, Bhishma, why? He asked this question. Why did this happen to Yudhisthira and his brothers, the Pandavas? Their husband and Kunti Devi, such a pure, unalloyed devotee of Krishna. She's Krishna's aunt. The Pandavas are Krishna's cousins. Krishna would touch the feet of Yudhisthira. And Arjuna was his very best friend. Why? They were being burned alive. They were fed poison. They were banished for 12 years. He came to the conclusion that it is inconceivable. Trying to understand why is inconceivable. Because the nature of the material world is padam padam yad vipadam natesha. There is danger at every step for everyone. Dukalayam ashashvatam. Because everything is temporary in this world, it's essentially a place of inherent misery. Abramabhuvanarloka punaravartanojana mamupetyatu kontya punarar janmana vidyate. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, from Brahma loka, Tapa loka, Jana loka, Mahar loka, Swarga loka. What to speak of Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, down to Patalaloka. They're all places where you have to die. And death is a time when everything is taken away. But But the scriptures tell us death only pertains to the body. The Atma is eternal. When Krishna tells us, Kaunteya pratijanihi namai bhakta pranashyati, he says, my devotee will never perish. This is my promise, and Arjuna, you make this promise as well. The devotee is not the car the devotee is driving. The devotee is the living force, the part of Krishna. Najayate mriyate vakadachit, the soul is eternal. It never is born, it never dies. Nahanyate hanyamane sarire. Death has nothing to do, it cannot touch the soul. The soul cannot be cut into pieces by any weapons, cannot be burned by fire, cannot be moistened by water. It's a part of Krishna. And Krishna is Bhaktavatsala. Our acharyas teach us this is the predominant, most important of all Krishna's qualities, both in the spiritual world as well as in this material world. Yes, Krishna loves his devotees. And the devotees love Krishna. That reciprocation of love is the highest truth. Neha vikramana so si pratyavayo navidyate. Whatever spiritual progress we do, whatever we have ever done for Krishna, Krishna never forgets. One of my dear godbrothers, he was having serious problems with his spiritual life. Serious problems even following moral principles. But Srila Prabhupada wrote him a letter. He said, because you once chanted the name of Krishna sincerely, Krishna will deliver you. And I saw how it happened in an inconceivable way. He got cancer and completely surrendered with all humility and devotion and was grateful at every moment. Why? We may not understand exactly the details of why these eight beloved, sincere, dedicated devotees of Krishna were taken from us the way it happened. But we know one thing absolutely for certain, that Krishna was there to protect them, to lift them up, to embrace them, to give them himself, because they gave themselves to him. The Bhagavad Gita tells that for those who are on the path of Jnana Kanda, Astanga Kanda, and Karma Kanda, according to the particular time and the particular season that you leave your body, you're going to attain a different destination. But after explaining these things in great detail, Krishna says, but for my devotee, it doesn't make any difference. I'm there for them. There's no such thing as auspicious or inauspicious for a devotee. Everything is all auspicious. So yes, absolutely, for certain, we know on the basis of Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, that these eight devotees attained a wonderful perfection. What they always wanted, love for Krishna, unending service. They may or may not have wanted ultimate happiness, but it was given to them. That is for sure. And there are many examples. Dr. Rawal cited some. Subhadra is Krishna's sister. She's the yoga maya potency of the Lord. And yet her beloved son, Abhimanyu, who the Pandavas loved more than life itself, who was so intimately dear to Krishna, he was unfairly massacred. Subhadra was weeping. Yudhisthira, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadev, they were absolutely grief-stricken. Why? Because the body of a devotee is very sacred. It's the medium in which we can communicate with that devotee. The devotee is not the body. The devotee is the eternal soul, undying. The body is sure to vanish. It's just a matter of time. But the body is the way in which that beloved soul can express its love for Krishna and its love for us, and it's the medium by which we can express and reciprocate love with them. So yes, when a loved one dies, for materialistic people, it's a misery that's simply a mysterious void. They are gone forever. But for a devotee, we understand that Krishna's taken them. Inconceivably, we may not understand the details, but Krishna has taken them. And therefore, yes, we should cry. We should cry tears of separation from them. But those tears are not just a lamentation in void. Those tears are offerings of our love. The pain in our heart is an offering of gratitude, love, and prayer for Krishna to shower blessings on them. That type of crying actually brings us closer to the Atma, perhaps closer than we've ever been before in their physical presence. That is the beauty of spiritual life. We can continue reciprocating love beyond all the geographical conditions of this world. Srila Prabhupada said, if you are chanting Hare Krishna and I am chanting Hare Krishna, we are always together. Whether I'm in India and you're in America, or whether I'm in Goloka and you're in this material world. Draupadi, after the battle of Kurukshetra, the Pandavas had just lost Abhimanyu. The war is over. They all go to sleep. They're tired. And then Ashwatthama mercilessly murders the five sons of Draupadi. That means the sons of Yudhisthira, Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadeva, and Bhima, in their sleep. It's horrible. Why? Those sons were so beloved to the Vaishnavas. They were so beloved to Krishna. It's the way of the world, whoever we are. We have to see from a spiritual perspective. Because they were so dear to Krishna, their lives were perfect. Devaki, she's a mother. After holding a child in her womb for 9 months,
when they were little babies, she looked at their sweet, loving faces and they giggled, and Kamsa came and murdered them right in front of her. Why? But later on, during Krishna's Dwarka Leela, Krishna brought those sons back to Devaki to show that he's always with them. She gave them some milk and they were liberated because the milk was Krishna's prasad. In the Ramayana, Jatayu, one of the most important of all stories in that great scripture. Why didn't he win against Ravana? His wings were cut, his legs were cut, he was coughing blood. But Ram showed us how he's there for every devotee. We may not physically see how he's there, but he showed us in this leela. He put Jatayu's head on his lap and embraced him and said, "Jatayu, today you will meet me in Vaikuntha, just as you're meeting me here. Your service will never end. I am forever grateful to you because of the service you've done for my devotee." And chanting Ram's name, he went back to Godhead. In Lord Chaitanya's Leela, the son of Srivas, he died of a fever in the middle of a kirtan. And the relatives naturally were weeping because they loved him. But Lord Chaitanya, he didn't do this just as a leela according to time, place, and circumstance. This was a universal message. He brought the son back to life for just about a minute. And the child said, "This body is destined to die. It could die in so many ways. But the fact that I was born in the family of devotees and I had so much association with devotees and I had so much kirtan all around me, I'm happy to go anywhere you go, my Lord." And then he laid down and was dead again. And no one was unhappy. They were unhappy with the separation from him, but they were completely ecstatic because they understood where he went. That same message is very much there for us today. It's a time of sorrow because they are lost from our company, and it's a time of celebration that they have attained the loving service of Krishna beyond this world where there is danger at every step. All of these eight people were very special, and it is a great loss to us. I think we all know each one of them was one out of hundreds and millions of people in this world. The rarest thing is to be a devotee, a sincere, dedicated, selfless devotee. It's not only a loss to us, it's not only a loss to Srila Prabhupada's movement, Lord Chaitanya's movement, it's not only a loss to the world, it's a loss to the entire universe. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "All the wealth in the entire cosmic manifestation, all the wealth in all the universes," and we're talking about Indra's wealth and Brahma's wealth, what to speak of the people here in Bombay, "all the wealth in all of the universe cannot equal a fraction to the value of a single sincere devotee. What a tragic loss to the world. 8 such sincere devotees have been taken from us. But how joyful we should be for them. So let our tears be an offering of our love and gratitude for their eternal souls who have been taken personally by Krishna. We may ask, is it that Krishna planned the crash? These things you may never understand. Is it their karma? Is it just a mistake? Why did they get on that crazy airplane? Part of my heart thinks, I wish they would have informed me. Because almost everybody who goes on yatras asks for some permission or blessings. They either directly or indirectly inform me. But I knew absolutely nothing about it. And that airport is the most dangerous airport on planet Earth. We made a policy in our temple. We should never give blessings or permission to anyone who goes to a place that's substantially dangerous. So, why? Was it a mistake? Even if it was. From a management position, we should see it from that perspective so nobody else does it. Because we need devotees here. Even if it was, 100% Krishna was there to embrace them, lovingly lift them up. Because their motivation was simply to offer their hearts and souls to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Muktinath. And he's Muktinath. He's the Lord, he gives mukti. So we have to be very careful when we go there. Because we may want a certain particular style of mukti, but the Lord may give us a much higher kind of mukti. They thought they were going on a pilgrimage to Muktinath. Little did they know. They really went on a pilgrimage, the ultimate pilgrimage, to Muktinath's loving embrace. Traditionally, people go there and never come back. It's a very modern thing that people go there and come back. Judd Bharat went up there to the Gandaki River. He went there after he retired and he was going to stay there, do his bhajan until he died. That's the tradition. And I remember when I lived in the Himalayas, there was a saying when I was going to go to Badrinath. People were telling me, Badrinath, there's a saying, when someone goes to Badrinath, they never come back. That's the tradition. But now, because of the military, they made all those roads and all that stuff. And many acharyas go there. And before they go, they understand. I'm surrendering my life. It's up to Bhagavan whether he wants me to come back or not. So yes, they really went on a pilgrimage. An incredible pilgrimage. The fruit and fulfillment of all pilgrimages. It's hard to speak about each devotee. We have already heard for the last 6 hours different devotees personal experiences, interactions, and feelings, and gratitude toward these devotees. I would like to just share a few words, trying to capture the essence of what I saw in each of these devotees. Begin with Her Grace Srimati Madhupriya Devi. I must say, she was among the very, very best of our devotees. Her selfless service attitude, her enthusiasm, her willingness to face challenges and great difficulties in life, like Kunti Devi, really turning to Krishna and really serving others through it all with so much care and affection. From what I remember, it was Brindapriya Devi that first spoke to Madhupriya Devi and inspired her on the path of bhakti. Is Brindapriya Devi here? Are you here, Brindapriya? Can you stand up so at least I could see you? Anyways, Brindapriya and Madhupriya became very, very close friends. Brindapriya, daughter of Maithili Priya and Srinathji, inspired her so deeply. And from what I remember, she brought Menaka for me to meet initially. And isn't it amazing what our Brindapriya Devi did just in sharing her love for Krishna with one person, how many lives it affected. Madhupriya Prabhu took that grace that she received so seriously. She had the help of Janava Devi and other incredible ladies, Radha Priya, Maithili Priya. And she transformed her children, her entire family, and practically anybody. Haribo, this is a Kadamba garland for you. You can pester. These are Kadamba flowers grown from our own trees. Hari Hari. Everyone she contacted, she was so soft, so affectionate, yet so determined. She just wanted to serve and please Krishna, please her guru in every possible way. Just after she came to the path of bhakti, we were having the December marathon for book distribution. And we have all these very austere, renounced brahmacharis who practically gave up everything for that whole month just to distribute those books of Srila Prabhupada. And yet Madhupriya Devi, while raising three children, while taking care of her husband, while calling her mother and father, she called her mother and father without fail, her father told me, at three times every day to see how they were. And inspired them to do so much service. While doing all these things with all the challenges of a housewife with three little children, she was by far the number one book distributor in the whole Radha Gopinath temple. How did she do it? And it wasn't like she was passionate and she was just jumping over people. That's what sometimes people do to win. She was gracious, grateful, hospitable, kind, polite to everyone. Inconceivable determination with such softness and love and kindness. And how many of those tens and thousands of people she reached that month have been transformed? Some very well may be part of our congregation today. And she was so enthusiastic to engage her family for Krishna. She would come to me so often. She would like to cry when she came to me. They were not tears of sorrow. They were tears of deep sincerity that she wanted so bad that her family would taste the sweetness of Krishna. Her brothers, her sisters, her mother, her father. Every year, one of the most wonderful programs we would have was when at the NSCI. Because her beloved father was a trustee, I believe. And that place is very, very difficult to get for a spiritual satsang. I don't know for sure, but I have been told that it's the only time there's been spiritual satsangs there, because it's a sports club. But she would have her father and all the trustees coming on stage. They would all be dancing in kirtan. And some of the most incredible historical moments in my life were there at the NSCI by Madhu Priya's grace. I remember when my mother and father came, she had my father on the stage dancing in front of 3,000 people in kirtan. Now for you Indian people, so what? But coming from Chicago, Illinois, I could not believe it. My father is on stage. Srinathji Prabhu was very much his dear friend. He encouraged him and held his hand. And he was with his arms raised, crying out the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And my mother was laughing hysterically seeing my father on stage with all the devotees. But after an incredible spell of laughter, she had her arms raised and she was chanting the holy names of Krishna. That's quite unbelievable. An American upper middle class mother and father publicly demonstrating such devotion in kirtan. That's Madhu Priya's arrangement. And then Gary and his brother Richard brought their aunt, Shelley, who's one of the most sophisticated aristocratic people in the entire country of America. I think they're the largest real, her and her husband are about the largest real estate owners in Beverly Hills. They own hotels on Wilshire Boulevard. So many apartment buildings. They own an NBA basketball team. And the basketball team was a losing team for so many years. And she came for, I believe it was Anjali and Krishna Kanaya's marriage. Yes? Krishna Chandra Prabhu Radha Priya's. Was it Anjali's marriage or was it Radha's marriage? Anjali. Swamis just can't keep track of these marriage things. We need mothers to help us. And she was wearing a sari with the Association of Devotees. Then the last day, NSCI. And Shelley was on stage with her arms raised, sincerely crying out the names of Krishna. And Gary was on stage. And Richard, you know, he's a California man, he was dancing on the women's side. And I was leading the kirtan, and I really didn't know what to do about that. But he was dancing and singing. It was beautiful. And then Shelley and Gary's friends, who were Devin and his good wife, they were dancing also. He's very high-profile lawyer, attorney in California. And interestingly, Shelley gave a message. She said that due to the blessings of all the devotees, her basketball team had the most winning year. While she was in India chanting and dancing and going to our programs, they had the longest winning streak in the history of the team. And she said, it's all due to the blessings of the devotees and Krishna. So we are very happy about that. That historical speech came at NSCI. It's so joyful. And when there was some impediment for having that program, she just shifted it to her backyard. And what an incredible program that was. My younger brother, Larry, just January of this year, he was there with his wife, Lori. And it was the one devotee program that they attended. And he spoke. Quite amazing. And he danced. And you know something? I spoke to Gary. Now please understand, anybody who would come from abroad, I would just put them in the hands of Madhu Priya. And I knew they would never be the same. I didn't have to make a plan with her. I just knew she would do something with them and make them happy and totally capture their hearts. You know, she would take them to restaurants and tourist sites and everything else, but she, by her devotion, she inspired such appreciation for Krishna consciousness in them. She gave japa mala to Shelley. She gave japa mala this last visit to Gary the day before he left. And before I came to India, Gary told me how he was weeping and crying in separation from her. And he said, in her honor, just to please her, I started chanting japa on the beads. Something I couldn't do. And he told me when he told Shelley, Shelley was crying. That's how she moved people's hearts, of all places, all people. Because she really cared. She really wanted to serve. And there was nothing mundane about the way she served them, because she had an objective to share her love for Krishna with them. And she told them our philosophy, everything, but in such a way that all they could do is love it and accept it. As Govinda Prabhu said, her determination during Kartik every year, she came to Mangalarti every day. And every Thursday she would dress Radha Gopinath. And she did something nobody else that I know of does. After dressing, she would always have a beautiful gift of a piece of jewelry that she offered to Srimati Radharani. That was the joy of her life. Kunja Bihari Prabhu. I remember when he first started coming, he told me he was a devotee of Babulnath. And just to make the bridge with him, I would ask him to take me to Babulnath Temple. So we would go up and have darshan of Babulnath together. Because in my own life, I knew the secret. Because I was a devotee of Shiva too. And I remember I offered prayers to Pashupati Nath in Nepal to show me the way. Then I offered prayers to Vishwanath in Kashi, asking to show the way. And the next thing I know, after those two prayers, I was stranded alone, with Gary, of course, in Mathura on Janmashtami. And Gary left and we were supposed to meet, and I got typhoid, so I couldn't go. So I believe it was very much the grace of Vishwanath Pashupati Nath that ultimately Prabhupada gave me the name Radhanath. So I had faith in the process. So I prayed to Babulnath, please do the same thing to this Kamala that you did to me. And it happened. He worshipped Babulnath. By the grace of Babulnath, he got Gopinath. And ultimately, by the grace of Gopinath, he got Muktinath. And somewhere, all of, you know, in the middle of it all, was this little person named Radhanath. He was very sincere. His wife took initiation. He wouldn't take initiation for many years because he was so serious about really following what he was going to promise. And he did it with much realizations. I remember he went through many challenges in his business. He went through many challenges with his health. But the interesting thing is he really took shelter of Krishna. And that's really what Krishna sees. We may have weaknesses. We may have difficulties. But ultimately Krishna sees how we're actually honestly, humbly trying to take shelter. He would sit here every day and chant japa for hours. And how he would chant japa. It was serious. just looking at the beautiful form of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, he would chant and chant and chant. Usually I'd see him around 10 in the morning. I think he stayed for a couple hours every day. He was the most steady, devoted, japa devotee in our whole congregation. And he was really taking shelter. And as was said, if anyone tried to talk to him, he would very cordially, politely say, "I'm chanting japa. When will your japa end?" It just wouldn't end. He was taking shelter. And we heard how he went to Mayapur and saw Radha Madhava and wanted, because he's a jeweler, he felt the inspiration to make some jewelry for Radha Madhava. But Madhava's about 6 feet tall. He's about 3 times bigger than Gopinath. He had to get gigantic jewels. He went all the way to China just to make beautiful jewelries for Radha Madhava. This is meditation. So blissful. So much how he bonded with all the brahmacharis. Irreplaceable loss. And little Shivam, I remember when he was in the womb of his mother. They told me how they worshipped Shiva to get a son. And in gratitude, they named him Shivam. And we heard today when that little baby was in the womb, she wanted to read Srimad Bhagavatam. Just like little Prahlad. Little Prahlad heard Hari Katha in the womb and became such a wonderful devotee. And every devotee, every parent wants their children to be like Prahlad. But that's just not possible. But Mahajano Yena Katasa Panta, if they could get a child to follow in the footsteps of Prahlad, who's a Mahajan, that's the perfection of the child's life. We have heard from cousin Shivam how hospitable, how kind, how gracious he was to everyone. How he just became the best friend of anyone who opened their hearts to him. He was so concerned. It was his mother and father's influence. It was the influence of Srimad Bhagavatam that inculcated such a spirit in him. And growing up as a teenager in the city of Mumbai is not easy. So he did have his challenges. Just a few days ago, on my way here, I stopped in London for just about 7 hours. And during that time, I met His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Swami Maharaj. He was telling me about his dialogues with Shiva. He was becoming so totally serious. He was so much seeking shelter. That night when my brother and Larry, when they came to the house, I came a couple hours early. And Madhupriya Devi, as was her tradition, she sat me on that porch and brought each one of her children. And she'd cry and say, "Please inspire them. Please talk to them." And I spoke to Shivam. I spoke to Prerna. Spoke to Vidhi. So beautiful. And I saw that Shivam was really, really He was deeply soul-searching of where he wanted his life to go. And Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj told me that the day that he left for London, Shiva called him, seeking guidance, seeking blessing, seeking inspiration. He was at the very peak of his spiritual journey in life, the time when he was really trying to take shelter of Krishna and the devotees, that Krishna took him from us. Physically, if we saw their bodies, it was a gory scene. But spiritually, their departure was absolutely beautiful, in a holy place. And we know for sure when the pilot made that announcement that those devotees were all crying out Krishna's names and Radharani's names. For sure, we know who they are. They left crying out to Krishna on a pilgrimage in a holy place. And they were all at the peak of their spiritual lives. And they had such blessings. Gokulrani, she was the personification of graciousness, humility, devotion, while at the same time as being a very enthusiastic devotee in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, she balanced it in such a graceful way with being a completely traditional mother and housewife. She was such a dear, loving, affectionate, serving wife to Harish. And her relationship with Taruni, her only child, is quite historical. I have not seen such a special friendship and intimacy on a certain level of just day-to-day dealings with each other as Gokulrani and Taruni. She just gave her life to make her a lover of Krishna. And she did. We heard from Radha Krishna Prabhu. She was married, she was 17 years old, and for 15 years did not have a child. And when little Taruni was born, who we later named Gokul Taruni, when little Gokul Taruni was born, she just accepted it as Krishna's and Shiva's mercy. And she dedicated her child to Krishna and taught us how to dedicate our child to Krishna. She spoon-fed that little child with bhakti. It's hard to remember seeing one without the other. And I don't know all the details of how little Gokul Taruni got into the Bollywood scene, but it was quite amazing. Because I knew her from her infancy, she had such spontaneous, natural love for Krishna. And yet, she had this enthusiasm to be in Bollywood. And there was never a doubt in my mind that she was doing it for Krishna. Now, I'm not recommending... because we cannot imitate great souls, but we can really appreciate what they do. We read the principle to be in this world but not of this world. that particular words are in the Holy Bible, but it's very much what Bhagavad Gita is saying. Krishna's telling Arjuna, in the name of ahimsa, peace, fight this war and defeat the enemy. Hare Krishna. Seems like a contradiction. But Krishna wanted to make a bold statement of how to be in this world but not of this world. How you could perform your occupation very dynamically with a clear mind and become very successful by God's grace. And at the same time, do it all with love for Krishna in your heart. And offer the fruits of the results of the activities to Krishna for Krishna's pleasure. And I really believe that Gokul Taruni, under the guidance of her mother, inspired by her mother, whatever she was doing, it was an offering to Krishna. She had some little master plan in her mind of how she was going to bring all this to Krishna. And even though she became quite famous, being famous when you're 10, 11, 12 years old, very famous, it could really disturb a person's consciousness. But yet when she was with other devotee children, we heard from Govinda Prabhu, she was just one of them. She had no airs. She had no ego. She just loved to chant, loved to dance, loved to play. And when there was any drama about Krishna, no matter what else she was doing, she wanted to do it for Krishna. She wanted to do it for the Vaishnavas. She had such love. And her love for Krishna was so full of cheer and joy and playfulness and spontaneity. And personally, she was one of my favorite most devotees of all time. She was so sweet. And she was always so gracious, so respectful, so humble. How can a child that age inculcate these qualities while being in Bollywood? She was a great soul. Unbelievable personality. And I remember the night I was leaving Mumbai in March. I went to Kar, where Sahadev Prabhu and Mahaprabhu Prabhu were celebrating their 75th birthdays. So on my way to the airport, I stopped there. I could not miss such an event. And I remember after talking about all the glories of these 75-year-old grandfathers, I saw little Taruni. She was there with her mother, Gokul Taruni, Gokul Rani. And Gokul Rani was just so gracious, with tears in her eyes, wishing me a safe journey. And little Gokul Taruni, she was smiling. And I just had to embrace the little girl. Brahmacharis may have been watching. What could I do? She was just like a daughter. She was more than a daughter to me also. Granddaughter, daughter, I don't know the difference. But and she wished me a happy journey. But I didn't realize that I should have offered them a happy journey. But they had a happy journey. And just my affection and my gratitude for those two I offered profusely, and I'm so grateful to Mahaprabhu and Sahadev for becoming 75 years old so that I could offer that last offering in the physical form to both of them. Gaur Krishna Prabhu, Murli Mohan Prabhu, and Gagan Prabhu, they're simultaneously one and different. They're a Chintubeda Beda Tattva. It was like one soul in three bodies. Gaur Krishna Prabhu, he was so much loved by so many people. People would brahmacharis would sometimes come to me and tell me how heavy he could be, because he was a perfectionist. His nature in life was a perfectionist. And we learned from his beloved father today what kind of perfectionist he was before he came to Krishna consciousness. I was told when he was about 17 years old, he was taking computers apart and reassembling them. How many of you could do that? He had such knowledge of technology, some empowerment. I don't know where it came from, but he was such a perfectionist in what he was doing that while he was a teenager, he was the director of a company having a very high-paying job of, what, a crore a year? Crore a year, is it? He was making crores of rupees when he was 19 years old in London. He was so incredibly valuable. He can do technology seva, or whatever. He was among the top 100 in the world, probably. He won all kinds of incredible international contests. And when he was just breaking into that field where he was going to become one of the top paid, unbelievable persons in the world in that field, he renounced it all. He would go to Radhalandanishwar temple to eat prasad. His family vegetarian. This good fruits come from good trees. His father and mother must have been incredible desire trees. And while there, he was so gracious, he felt, I can't just take prasad, I have to do seva. So he would do seva. And then after doing seva, he got such a taste, because what is that verse? It's through seva that Krishna reveals himself. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, don't try to see Krishna, but try to serve Krishna in such a way that he likes to see you. So he served with such sincerity that Krishna revealed himself. He could stand in front of Radhalandanishwar for hours and hours a day. And yet, such a balanced life, he still had so much love and gratitude and affection for his parents that he decided to surrender his life, to give up his job, to be a sadhu at Radha Gopinath Temple. And he encouraged his father to personally bring him here and offer his son. That's quite rare. Father coming to gratefully offer the son to be a brahmachari in the ashram. What a family. And Gaur Krishna Prabhu, he became so irreplaceable in everything he did because nobody could do what he did. We could go on and on. I am miserable with technology. I don't know what I did. I must have done serious operades to some machine in my last life. Everything fails, and I just, the simplest thing somehow or other becomes impossible for me. And when I would come here, my karma is I always had these incredible, urgent things I had to deal with international matters, computer, and every time I'd come here, the internet did not work. And I'd ask devotees, and they'd say, no, it's all connected, it works, it works. I said, you say what you like, it doesn't work. So then other people would come in and they'd be going, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And I would, it was like Draupadi. Turn to everyone else. Ultimately, I raised my hands up and said, Gaur Krishna, Gaur Krishna. And he would come, and I couldn't figure out what he was doing. He was doing some really, really intricate, complicated things. He'd be going on the internet and going to different sites and doing, say, it's all fixed. I said, what did you do? He said, you won't understand. I said, can you teach me? He said, no. You'll just call me if you have a problem. He knew my karma. And that happened literally every time I'd come to Bombay. Not only from abroad, if I left for a day, the same thing would happen. Yes, Brajachandra can confirm. He was the one I was usually saying, what's that? What's happening? Why? And he's an IIT specialist. We'd get some other IIT specialist, and then they'd get another IIT specialist or some other specialist, and ultimately, hey, Gaur Krishna. And he'd come running. He was a perfectionist. And whatever intensity in his devotional service was because he wanted everything perfect as possible, as an offering to Radha Gopinath, as an offering to Prabhupada, as an offering to the Vaishnavas. Such deep, incredible devotion. And interestingly, he was never intense or heavy with me. Maybe this is why I like him so much, because I'd hear so many things. But whenever he was with me, he was totally submissive, totally humble, totally soft-spoken, even when he was challenging me. It was with such grace and respect. And I would usually not agree with his challenge. And he would just, yes, yes, yes. If something wasn't working, he would say, it's because of this and this. And I'd say, Gaur Krishna, don't make excuses. The more you make excuses, the more I'm going to be heavy on you. So he'd say, oh, yes, 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 yes. He'd say, I can't fix it because of this, 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 and this. It's impossible. I'd say, don't make excuses. Just fix it. Because I heard he was heavy, so I was trying to reciprocate on behalf of all the devotees. And with such humility and cooperative and culture and respect and love, there was so much love. Whenever I would say that, he would fix it unfailingly. Impossible was a word in a fool's dictionary for Gaur Krishna. The problem was he expected it to be like that for everybody. But we heard the brahmachari speaking. I think it was yesterday. And even those who he had clashes with, they became the most intimate, loving, inseparable best friends. Shubha Vilas Prabhu. The two of them were very much involved in these book launches. And Gaur Krishna Prabhu, anything he put his mind to, he had so many incredible ideas, and he would just make things happen. Some people have ideas, but they can't get anything done. And some people get things done, but they don't have good ideas. But he had incredible creative ideas, and he got everything done. And he could engage so many people. So for these book launches, Shubha Vilas Prabhu was saying yesterday in the Brahmacharis offerings, they would sometimes really have arguments. Because Shubha Vilas Prabhu likes to do things fast. And Gaur Krishna Prabhu likes to do things perfect. Put two type people in the same room together for months and months and years at a time. And they loved each other intimately, dearly, because they both really understood each other. He had the softest, most gentle, loving heart. And such an insatiable, unmotivated spirit to serve. Whenever I was tired or not feeling well, he and Murali Mohan Prabhu would make such incredible arrangements to take me to some quiet place to rest. And they'd give me all selections. They would take me there. They would bring everything, facilitate everything. 24-hour day call, the two of them. Such love. Such kindness. It's impossible for me to forget. The relationship with Murali Mohan Prabhu. What an incredible person he was with his brother Gagan. He's initiated by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. The two of them, I think, were Mukesh and Rakesh. Correct? And Gopal Krishna Maharaj gave him the name Murali Mohan. That was who he was. On so many levels. Murali Mohan means one who, Krishna, who bewilders and enchants people's minds with the beautiful sound of his flute. And not only was he enchanted by Krishna, but he would bewilder so many people the way he did things. But it was always with such love, such humility, such devotion. We heard the story earlier how he came to Radha Gopinath Temple. His life was supernatural. He came to Radha Gopinath Temple and prayed, "I want a deity to worship." He prayed from his heart of hearts. And they were driving home with Damodar, and they passed by some deity store. And they went in, and he said, "I want a black deity of Krishna." The person said, "There's nothing like that in the showroom, but come into the godown." And there was a black deity of Krishna covered with all sorts of, you know, dust. He said, "I'll buy this, but I don't have any money." Such a pure heart. A Bombay Walad person. He said, "Just pay me whenever you can." He had so much trust. And he started worshiping and named Krishna Madan Mohan. Krishna, who enchants even the heart of Cupid. And he did such seva that Madan Mohan literally enchanted everyone who came before him. And His Holiness Mahanidhi Swami, who was a beloved Shiksha Guru and dear friend of Murli Mohan, he told him that Madan Mohan will not be happy until Radharani is with him. So he had Radharani placed beside him. And the rest is history. Gagan, we heard from everybody. He was the personification of Das Das Anudas. He wanted no fame, he wanted no prestige, he just wanted to assist his brother in his loving service to Madan Mohan. He was willing to go through great lengths and work so hard and endure such struggles just to do anything Gaur Krishna and Murli Mohan asked him to do. And he would do it. I remember, I used to meet him, and it was always so sweet. He had such Vaishnav culture in such a deep, beautiful way. So much affection. And he was so humble. And one day, I think it was Janmashtami, where the Murli Mohan was pleading with me to come to his house. I don't remember if it was after the midnight arti. Yes? Anyways, after the midnight arti, considering the next day is Prabhupada's Vyas Puja, usually people want to take some rest. But he was so deeply wanting me to come. And I came. I could not believe what I saw. The darshan in his little flat in Bandra. The shringar was more meticulous, more opulent, more devotional than practically any major temple I've seen anywhere in the world. It's hard to find any ISKCON temple or Vrindavan temple or any temple where so much devotional, beautiful, aesthetic offerings are given to Krishna. And it was Gaur Krishna and Murli Mohan and Gagan. They would plan for days. And he would cry if somebody came and appreciated what he was doing. He was so grateful. And then there was the time I came there with Janani Vas Prabhu. And Janani Vas Prabhu, the Pujari of all of ISKCON, he was utterly intoxicated with bliss to see such worship happening in this little broken down flat in Bandra. Unbelievable. There were hundreds of fruits and thousands of flowers everywhere. Such beautiful decorations, such beautiful paintings. He just loved to serve. And he would do that while he was making dresses and doing everything for Radha Gopinath. Gaur Krishna Prabhu, Murli Mohan Prabhu, Gagan, they took responsibility for making the Shringar, the decorations and the dresses for all the festivals of Radha Gopinath. Sarat Purnima, Holi, Janmashtami, Pushyabhishek. It was just unparalleled. They set up that deity shop on the roof. A little shack on a roof was making the most beautiful garments, among the most beautiful in the entire planet. How they empowered all of their Saivites. Murli Mohan Prabhu, his love for his mother and father. Gagan, they live with them. They engage the mother and father in cooking for Madan Mohan. And I was told by, just a couple days ago, by his mother and father, that he never allowed us to touch Madan Mohan directly. We were only allowed to cook for them and make offerings, artis. So they asked if a devotee from the temple who had a dear intimate relationship with Murli Mohan and Gaur Krishna could come once a week to dress the deities on behalf of Gaur Krishna, Murli Mohan and Gagan. Incredible, because they gave so much joy, so much faith, and so much love to so many thousands and thousands of people through the garments and decorations that they offered to Radha Gopinath. They personified the principle of understanding that the Archamurti, the deity, is Radharani Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Sri Giridhari, Sri Nathji, Sri Madan Mohan. They made dresses for Radharas Bihari. People from all over the world wanted him to make dresses because they were unparalleled. And it wasn't just about skill. It was about love. It was about devotion. Murli Mohan, Gagan, Gaur Krishna, they had a whole congregation that dedicated their lives to Sri Sri Madan Mohan. When I would come there, I would see Madhu Priya's family, Madhava Prasad's family, Gokul Rani's family. All these people would be there just so happy. He enchanted everyone's hearts by his devotion, their devotion. I'm only speaking a few things that are just coming from my heart at the moment. But these devotees were not ordinary. They were one in hundreds of millions. Their devotion, their humility, their love, their eagerness to serve, all of them. Breathtaking. Yes. Krishna has taken them. And we know for sure that Krishna was there. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam jajatyante kalevaram. Whatever we remember at the time of death, we attain. Antakali chamameva smaran matva kalevaram. If we remember Krishna at the time of death, we attain Krishna without fail. But with such sincere, dedicated, selfless, unique devotees as Gaur Krishna Prabhu, Murli Mohan Prabhu, Gagan Prabhu, Kunja Bihari Prabhu, Madhupriya Devi, Shivam Prabhu, Gokul Rani Devi, Gokul Taruni Devi, the nature of the quality of their devotion. They don't even have to remember Krishna at the time of death. No matter how they live, and no matter how they pass away, Krishna will personally come to be their last thought at the time of death, for sure. Krishna's Bhaktivatsal. If we pass away in our sleep, or if we pass away in a coma or something like that, for ordinary people that makes a big difference. But for one who is very dear to Krishna, when we're about to leave this world, Krishna will come to us and give us remembrance at that moment of departure. That's Krishna's love. Today, and the last few days since I've been here, meeting the families who are grief-stricken beyond imagination, meeting devotees in the ashram and congregation who are grief-stricken beyond imagination, I've seen something so beautiful. How devotees have come together to be there with each other and for each other. Vidhi, Prerna, who are my little granddaughters, I know since they're this big, and mother was always bringing them to me when they were naughty or doing things. They were telling me, and then I saw for myself how every night their friends were coming, putting everything else in their life aside to do kirtan together, to give solace to each other. What beautiful friends. And even the brahmacharis were doing it. What a wonderful culture of an ashram. And I heard about little Gokul Taruni and Gokul Rani. When they passed away, there was a couple blocks of vans and media coming to cover the story on television and newspapers and magazines. But also devotees were there, willing to do everything, anything for Harish and her mother and father who came to see me a few days ago. How grateful they were. They are. Murli Mohan Prabhu's mother and father, the devotees, extended themselves with so much affection to just be there for them, to do everything, anything, to help pacify their hearts and share their feelings of separation with each other. And Gaur Krishna Prabhu, some of our leading most brahmacharis went down to Hyderabad.
The departure of body of Gaur Krishna was like a festival, because throughout the night there was chanting of Maha Mantra, and even at the cremation place he was cremated with the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So I really thankful to all the devotees who came there, and his association here in this ashram has given him all his support. Thank you very much.
This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. when Haridas Thakur departed from the world, Lord Chaitanya simultaneously wept in separation and celebrated in joy. It was a festival of loving tears. I am so proud and so grateful to see how you have all come together at this time of tragedy. It's a test of how much we've actually understood the spirit of Seva and Vaishnavism. Vaishnav Seva is not just doing something. It's giving your heart to please the Vaishnavas. I have seen this in a wonderful, wonderful way among all of you. And I thank you very much. Please know Murali Mohan Prabhu's, Gagan's mother, father, who are with us today. Gaur Krishna Prabhu's father and nephew and niece and relatives. Kunja Bihari, Shivam, and Madhu Priya's dynasty of incredible personalities. And Gokul Rani, Gokul Taruni. All of these families, please know that for life, we're here for each other. We are your family also. And if you accept it as such, that will be our success. A family to keep Krishna in the center. This Kadamba garland that I offer to Brindapriya Devi. Many different flowers, but they're all united with the string. That string is Krishna. That string is bhakti to Krishna. If we just keep this spirit of selfless devotion to Krishna and sincere hearing and chanting the names and glories of the Lord and seva to each other in the center, then together we're a beautiful garland, a fragrant garden. The fragrant is our joint love. And you know, these flowers and this garland cannot be separated because it's a garland of atmas, of loving souls. With Krishna in the center, death cannot separate us. With Krishna in the center, all the differences of opinion and different natures we may have cannot separate us. If we just keep Krishna in the center. His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, he gave his life to teach us how to keep Krishna in the center. And he personified it. In 1977, when he left us, I was totally in darkness, thinking, how will I survive without Prabhupada? But as time went on, I realized that I could feel his presence more intimately within my heart when I'm trying to please him than I ever did when I was in his physical presence. Vipralamba Seva. Service and separation. And Srila Prabhupada gave us that opportunity to be with each other. In the past year, just in my own life, some of the dearest people in my life have left. Aindra Prabhu, king of Kirtan. Gopi Purana Dana Prabhu, the king of Sanskrit in our movement. Humble, loving devotees. Yamuna Devi, the queen of everything. Kirtan, cooking, deity worship, Vaishnav Seva. Nitai Prabhu. Nitai Prabhu. Inconceivable. He was bringing in a whole nother realm of spiritual outreach for the youth. Total dedication, devotion. Such a hard-working person who simply wanted to please Krishna, the Vaishnavas, and his guru. Irreplaceable loss. And now Gaur Krishna, Murali Mohan, Gagan, Kunja Bihari, Madhu Priya, Shivam, Gokurani, Gokul Taruni. It's devastating, but it's beautiful. Let us share our devastation by offering the pain in our heart, offering the tears that come through our eyes as offerings of gratitude, of prayer for Krishna's blessings upon them, and of love. Today is a festival of separation. We will now sing the prayers of the departed Vaishnavas. And as we're singing, everyone with very, very deep devotion loudly cry out the words to this song, and afterward the Maha Mantra. It will be a mournful song of separation. But afterward, for their pleasure, we will dance to celebrate the success, the perfection of their lives. Thank you very much.
Gratitude to His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj for sharing his interactions, realizations. We will now have the kirtan. After the Vaishnava bhajan, when the Mahamantra singing starts, this barricade, this will be put in the center, and the Prabhus can come like that, offer their flowers, offer their flowers here, and maybe we will not be able to go on both the sides. So from this side you can offer and then come back into the hall, and the Mataji will come in the center and go that way, and then we will have the continue the kirtan. But after the Vaishnava bhajan, when the holy name starts.
Karuna prachu Heno Prabhu Kyota Kela Acharya Thakur. Aham mora swarup rupa kaha sanatha. Kahata sa raghunata patita pavana. Yuga kaha kavira eka kole kotha kela Gauranathara Pasane kutipa mata Anale pasipo Gauranga konera nidhi thota gele papo Sesabasangira sange Jekoi lao vila Se sangana paya kande Naro tamadas Jayanila prema dana Karuna pracho Hena prabhu kotha gela acharya thakur Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Loudly please.